Hey, Journey Church, so glad that you're joining us again this morning. And we're hoping that this week is the last week that we're offering only online services. As you can see behind me, we're preparing for people to come back. And in this next week, probably Wednesday or Thursday, you're going to watch a video that our staff is going to put together about how we're coming back and what we're going to be doing, and just give you an idea of the protocols moving forward. But we are so looking forward to seeing people at church, to having people in our building worshiping together and spending time together. We appreciate so much you being supportive of our ministry online, and we're going to continue to offer a good online service for those people that may not be able to get out just yet, and we'll let you know all about that this next week. So make sure to check your emails and watch Facebook and watch this YouTube channel, and we'll give you all the guidance you need about how we're going to be moving forward. I'm going to actually do a series starting when we first come back called The Three C's After COVID, and we're going to talk about some of the lessons that we've learned and some of the things that we have realized in the midst of this pandemic, and maybe how we're changed moving forward. Now, last week, we started a little mini-series called The Living Bible, and the idea behind this is to say that we really become the testimony of God. We become the manifestation of God to the world, that God's greatest gift was not a book. It was people in community. It was given through Jesus and through his son. And now we are the ones that are tasked with picking up the mantle and carrying the wonderful gospel message of Christ to a world that desperately needs a word of hope. Now, last week we talked about this idea of being on a journey in our faith. And today we're going to take that a step further. You know, one of the things that I have realized is that not everybody had the same experience of faith, if any, growing up. Some of us went to church every single Sunday because our parents would take us, and we would go to Sunday school and VBS, and we would be involved in church camps and volunteering and serving. And anytime the doors were open, our family was one of the families that was there. Or maybe your parents didn't go to church. Maybe you came from a broken home and your grandparents picked up that responsibility, and maybe they dropped you at church, or maybe they took you to church with them. Or maybe you were one of those families that went to church on special occasions. Maybe you went on Christmas and Easter and Mother's Day and a few other holidays. Or maybe you were those that went once a month. Or perhaps you never went to church. Maybe that wasn't a priority in your family, or that wasn't a priority in your home. And maybe when you were in college, or when you met the person that you married, you guys decided that you wanted faith to be a part of your journey together. All of us come to faith at different times and in different ways. But the one thing that I have noticed is that when we are people of faith, we all seem to have a very similar experience. We realize that faith is a journey, not a destination, and we all struggle with our faith. Every one of us has places in our lives where faith is difficult, or things that we go through where our faith is tested, and we have to decide what we truly believe. Now, we have this thing called faith, which everybody kind of knows what it is, but it's sort of hard to explain or understand exactly, to tell somebody exactly what faith really is. But we know what it is in our hearts and in our lives when we have it, when it is carrying us through, when it is going with us every step of the journey. But there are some obstacles of faith as well. I've come to realize in maybe my life, and also in the lives of the people that I talk to, is that it is very hard for us to be patient. Think about your life. Think about going to the store and the line is long. Or think about your driving habits. Or think about your time at home with your family or with your kids. Think about the moments in your life that you have truly found patience. And I think most of us would admit and say, you know what, we're really not that patient. We really struggle with patience. And patience is one of those things that helps develop our faith. As we talked about a week ago, that during moments of crisis and moments of difficulty, that's when our faith is formed and forged and made more complete. Yet it's not pleasant at that time. Patience is one of those things that we have to develop in order to have great faith. One of the other things that we have to develop is this thing called trust. That we have to learn to trust this God that we do not see, even though the manifestation of everything that he does is all around us. We have to place our trust in the unseen. We have to sort of put our chips ahead of us and then slowly allow our faith to catch up. You know, we are people that live in a world where words like instant gratification are prevalent. We want everything, and we want everything now. Sacrifice is not a word that we like, or a word that we use, or a word that we want. We want everything now. And we're not good at waiting or trusting or not seeing what we should see. I want to talk about these three things today. I want to talk about trust first. If you read the Bible, if you read Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, and this is a verse that many of us have read for a long time, but it says this in Proverbs 3, 5, and we know that Solomon is writing these words of wisdom to people who are still struggling with faith. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight." Verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." What Solomon is saying in these words is that we have to make a choice, and we have to make a decision, not just the choice to have faith, which most of us make, but we have to make a choice about where we're going to place our trust. Are we going to place our trust in me and what I can see and what I can control, or are we going to place our trust in God, in that unknown place, the place where we don't have all the answers? And he says, this is a decision that you have to make. You have to decide if you are wise in your own eyes or if you trust in the Lord. And we seem to be people that are so fickle that we only trust the things that are right in front of us, the things that we can see and the things that we can control. I hear a lot of people that struggle with their faith, or maybe they're on the verge of being agnostics or atheists. They say, "I'm not going to trust something that I cannot see," which unfortunately is the absolute definition of trust. It's trusting something that you do not see, but you understand that there is value there, and you reach out with your hand knowing that something is going to take the other end of your hand. That's what trust is. It's about stepping and leaping out into the unknown. But patience goes along with trust as well. It's one of those things that helps develop how we have faith. You see, I'm convinced that as people, our struggle with God is that we think, naively or arrogantly maybe, we think that we just want to see everything that God has for us in a single moment. Now, we see occurrences in the Old Testament and even some in the New Testament where a person, a prophet, even Moses, he says, "God, I just want you to reveal yourself fully to me." And God says, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he says, "Moses, you're not rigged for that. If I kind of show you all of me, it's going to crash your hard drive, okay? You cannot handle it. I have to give it to you in small doses." And we even know that Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai and God reveals the law to him. And when he comes down, the Bible says that he's got this, you know, spiritual sunburn, that his face is glowing and he's only seen a portion of God. But Moses doesn't want to wait. And people that struggle to have faith are people that say, "I want to see everything that God has to offer now. I'm ready for it. I want proof from God." And it's in God's wisdom that he actually tells us no, because we can't actually handle that. Faith is not something that we have all at once. It is a slow revealing that we step into. I've been reminded just of a few stories, just things that I remember. A little over a year ago, this church, Journey Church, was approached by an organization who wanted to do some partnering things with us. And we talked about it for a while, and initially it seemed like a really good idea. But as the story unfolded, we realized that it wasn't really a good fit for us. And one thing that I thought about just this last weekend was if we had actually stepped into that, if we had been impatient, if we had not done our due diligence, if we had not trusted in the Lord and prayerfully understood what we were doing, right now we would have been in a situation that would have been okay for us, but it would not have been good for the people that we were partnering with. In fact, I don't know if their business is going to make it. And I was just thinking about this, that God has some wisdom. And in that moment, we had a lot of emotions and we felt impatient and we thought, well, why is God not allowing this to happen? Why is this so difficult? Now I know. God was protecting us. But because I was impatient, couldn't see that at the time. And God has this great way of sort of so kindly and so gently just reminding me and saying, Sheldon, you don't see the whole picture yet. I know you think you do. I know you think you want to. But you've got to trust in me and you've got to wait for my timing. And I will take you where you need to go, but you have to be patient. Just one of those moments that I thought, you know what? I need to be patient. And maybe even as you're reflecting on things that happened in your life over the past couple of months, that maybe if you had made some different decisions or things that you'd prayed about, if God had said yes in those moments, where would you be today? What would have happened? What would have shifted? And sometimes we get mad at God and we think, you know, I trust you and I give you everything that you seem to want and I'm waiting and waiting for you and you constantly just seem to say no to me. And then in moments like this, we say, ah, I see. God was protecting me because he loves me. He didn't want my faith to be destroyed because of this. He was ultimately building my faith up. The Bible talks about this. Another great passage that we know is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. He says these words and he's talking to these people. He's giving them a word of encouragement to the Jewish people. And he says in verse 31 of Isaiah chapter 40, but those who hope in the Lord or those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength, meaning everything will come full circle. You will see what God is ultimately doing. They will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It says, when you put your hope in God, when we are patiently waiting for God to work, it says God will be faithful. He will meet us there and he will renew us and he will give us a new vision and he will set us on a new path and we have to be willing to simply wait on the Lord. And I see that in my own life. I know so many stories that you have shared with me over the years of you taking a moment to wait on God. And even though it is uncomfortable and difficult in that moment, those moments prove and improve our faith. They sharpen us. They make us people that trust more deeply. When we are patient with God, when we wait on him, he gives us opportunities to trust him more. He gives us opportunities for our faith to grow. And he meets us in those moments and takes us to the places that he wants to take us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is echoing all these beautiful passages from the Old Testament. In chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, he simply says this, because we live by faith, not by sight. Some translations say, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Paul was a man who believed God as far as he could see him. But when he had a conversion experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he stopped walking with God only by what he saw. Because if you remember correctly, Paul becomes the greatest apostle to the Gentiles. A lot of the apostles, they minister to the Jewish people. But Paul is sent to a place that he never thought he would be sent to. In fact, he couldn't even fathom that God would possibly send him to these enemies of his to bring the gospel because he was living by sight. He was only seeing God the way that he wanted to see him. And he was only going with his faith as far as he saw. But when he laid it down and trusted in God, he starts to live his life by faith. And those words, by faith, sound really easy, but they're incredibly difficult to live into. And the way that God tests us and grows us in our faith is not during good times. It's not during blessing. It's when we are struggling with the human side of ourselves, when we are selfish, when we are impatient, when we are non-trusting and telling God that he needs to prove himself to us. But God grows us in the midst of that. And he quiets our souls, and he leads us to where we need to go. And over time, we learn to see him. Even in this moment in our world's history, it's such a monumental thing, and I don't think we fully understand exactly the impact that this is going to have. I think we're all projecting, and we're all considering, hey, it might be this and it might be that, but none of us really knows. But the one thing that I do know is that God was here before this. God will be here during this. And God will meet us after this. And he will use these difficult moments to help us to trust him more, to learn our place and be patient, and to wait on him, to allow him to open up the road ahead. And when we do that, we have this beautiful thing called faith. It's not perfect. In fact, it will always be challenging. I'm convinced that I'm going to figure faith out in its fullness, and that'll be the day that I go to be with the Lord. I might have full faith for 5 minutes of my life, because that's how it works. Faith is always reliant on God. Paul identifies this in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love passage where he really is talking about the attributes of God, not what we talk about at weddings, but he says there's only really three things at the end of the day. There's faith, there's hope or anticipation, and then there's God. There's love. Those are the only three things that we probably will end this life with. And our job is to do our best with faith, even though we act like children most of the time, and God knows that. But he will meet us there, and he will continue to foster that hope in us of eternity. And then when we meet him, we will experience perfect love. So if your faith journey is a little weak, or you feel like you struggle to have faith, join the club. We all feel that way. If you feel like you're not patient enough with God, welcome. We're all there too. If some days it's really easy to trust and some days it's really not, then you're sitting among friends. Because together we're all trying to do this thing, to have this thing called faith. As we come back in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking a little bit more about what has happened and how God is working and moving through us and in us. I want you to know that we are praying for you. We're so looking forward to seeing you again. And we just ask that God would protect all of us in the midst of this, and that ultimately that his will would be done and that we would grow in our faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you that it teaches us and guides us. Thank you that you meet us where we are, that you don't judge how perfect we are, God, because we would all fall short. We just thank you so much that you give us tests, that you give us moments where we can step towards you into deeper trust, into deeper love, into deeper faith. We just pray that you would bless us all on our journeys, that you would keep us safe, and that you would help us to reclaim what is ours, and that as we move forward, that we will carry the torch of faith into every part of our lives. Thank you for meeting us today. We love you, and it's through Jesus that we pray.